From the Cyber Hub bunker and studio, you're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Top of the morning, security gang. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Hub podcast, Thursday, May 9th, 2024. It's great to be with all of y'all this morning. We've got a packed show for all of y'all today. So buckle up, tune in, subscribe, follow us on your favorite podcast listening platform, follow us on your favorite social media channels. Make sure to go check out our Substack, jamesazar.substack.com. Now let's buckle up, grab our double espresso, which is going to caffeinate us through a whole lot of cyber news today, and say coffee cup cheers, y'all. Good morning, everyone tuning in. Thank you for all your comments on YouTube, LinkedIn, and everywhere else. Let's go ahead and get started with the folks over at Zscaler enjoying RSA, maybe headed back to the office after the notorious Intel broker posts yesterday on the popular cybercrime forum that he was selling access to one of the largest cybersecurity companies. The hacker didn't name Zscaler, but forum shoutbox confirmed that it was them. He's offering to sell confidential and highly critical logs packed with credentials, including SMTP access, PAuth access, SSL passkeys, and certs, and all for this just simple price of $20,000 in crypto. You today could also get that. Zscaler announced that they were launching an investigation shortly after learning about the claims. A few hours after the investigation started, it was announced that they had found no evidence of its customer and production environments being compromised. In its latest update, the company confirmed that its production, customer, and corporate environments were not impacted. The investigation discovered an isolated test environment on a single server without any customer data, which was exposed to the internet. The test environment wasn't hosted on a Zscaler infrastructure, had no connectivity to the Zscaler environment. It was taken offline for forensic analysis, according to the company. Intel brokers recently claimed to have stolen the U.S. State Department and other government data from tech firm Acuity. The company confirmed the breach, but said only non-sensitive old information was compromised. Intel broker notorious, known for posting this kind of stuff on the forums there, and obviously one of the more respected Intel brokers. When they put something up, we typically, and I say we, I mean anyone who's in cybersecurity, who's doing news or looking at updates, will take those claims seriously. Rarely has he just randomly posted stuff there, he or she, I don't know who that is. So we'll just say that. So Zscaler saying it was only their test environment, it wasn't as big of a deal as he's making it seem. Maybe that's why he's only selling it for 20 grand and not 200 or 2 million. You know, the price would exuberate something along those lines. Someone bought it because it's been sold. So he's made his money, and now Zscaler will go about making some remediation and ensuring this doesn't impact their production environment or any of their customers. Ascension, one of the largest private healthcare systems in these United States, has taken some of its systems offline to investigate what it's describing as a cybersecurity event. The major nonprofit health system operates 140 hospitals, 40 senior care facilities across 19 states, and the DC Columbia, the DC area. It employs 8,500 providers, has 35,000 affiliated providers, and 134,000 associates. It reported a $28.3 billion revenue last year. On Wednesday, they claimed to have detected unusual activity on some of their technology network systems. They say the word select. They took those systems offline. They're asking partners to sever connections to its systems until told otherwise, out of an abundance of caution in their efforts to assist with the investigation and remediation process. Last month, HHS had warned that threat actors are now using social engineering tactics to target IT help desks in the healthcare and public health sector. They're not the latest. I mean, they're not the first. Let's go back to Change Healthcare. I thought Lockbit was down. I mean, yesterday we looked at those beautiful selfies by Dimitri, the ringleader and unspoken Prince Charming of the Lockbit group. Dimitri, the why? And now we're seeing Boeing actually confirm that their ransomware attack, the payment demand was $200 million, according to the company, saying on Wednesday. This is coming after Boeing confirmed to CyberScoop that an that it is them and the unnamed multinational aeronautical and defense corporation referenced in the indictment that was unsealed yesterday. Boeing declined further comment and referred questions to the FBI since it's still an ongoing investigation. Boeing did not pay any ransom to LockBit after roughly 43 gigabytes of company data was posted to the LockBit leak website in early November. According to Bleeping Computer, Boeing confirmed the cyber incident to CyberScoop at the time. We reported it here as well. They've racked up more than 500. LockBit has racked up more than 500 million in ransom paid by victims. So they've made their fair share there. But that's not that. I thought we took down LockBit because the city of Wichita, the ransomware attack we talked about yesterday, disrupting the city of Wichita, Kansas, is now being claimed by the LockBit ransomware gang. Now, there's two aspects to this. One, either LockBit actually did this or some LockBit affiliates and subsequently Dimitri, who's highly influential in that network, said, hey, put it on us. So we show them LockBit 3.0. This is them now saying that they've got access to the city of Wichita. Meanwhile, Wichita continues to be disrupted. The latest status update saying the following services remain unavailable: auto payments for water bills, public Wi-Fi at certain locations, including the airport. So if you're stuck at the Wichita airport with no Wi-Fi, I'm sorry that one, you're in Wichita. Number two, you've got no Wi-Fi. The online catalog, databases, some digital service, email communications through the city network for library staff, self-service print release stations and self-check stations at the library, automated material handlers at the advanced learning library, most incoming phone calls capabilities, Wi-Fi and phone service at neighborhood resource centers, and public services including golf courses, parks, courts, and the water district require residents to pay in cash or by check as online payments are shut down as of this morning. So city of Wichita still reeling from this. Around 50,000 instances of an open source proxy server used for small networks are exposed to a denial of service attack and even potential remote code execution via a flaw that could be exploited by a simple HTTP request. The used after free flaw tracked as CVE-2023-49606 is present in the tiny proxy versions 1.11.1 and 1.10.0. It allows attackers to send a simple, specially crafted HTTP connection header to trigger memory corruption that can cause denial of service, according to a recent advisory by threat hunting platform provider Census. Further, a more complex attack also can allow for RCE attacks. The flaw garners a critical rating of 9.8 out of 10 on the CVSS severity scale. Tiny Proxy is a lightweight open source HTTP or HTTPS proxy for Unix-like operating system that's designed for use in small networks. So most of its users are likely to be small businesses, public Wi-Fi providers, and home users, according to Census. However, it's also used by enterprises for testing or development, so attackers could compromise those instances as well. There's no active exploit of the flaw. An internet search conducted by Census showed that as of the 3rd of May, there are more than 90,000 hosts exposing the tiny proxy service. Of those, 57 are potentially vulnerable to the advisory. On May 1st, Cisco Talos published a proof of concept exploit for the flaw, saying that it demonstrated how a simple HTTP request can trigger the CVE. But a post on GitHub by the maintainer of the tiny proxy project, it goes by the online name R.O. Floor, called Cisco Talos' description of the flaw and how it's exploited useless details. The maintainer goes on in the post to describe the flaw deemed as nasty and includes a link to an update that fixes the vulnerability all in all. So there's that. If you're an F5 customer and you're a big IP customer, you may want to pay attention to this next one. Elixium claims to have found a total of 5 different vulnerabilities in the Big IP Next Central Manager product, which allows F5 customers to control all of their Big IP Next instances and services from a unified management interface. F5's only assigned 2 CVEs, and Elixium says it's unclear if the remaining 3 issues have been addressed. One of the patched vulnerabilities is CVE-2024-21793, which F5 has classified as high severity and described as an zero data injection issue that can allow an unauthenticated attacker to execute malicious SQL statements through the Next Central Manager IP. The second fixed security hole identified as CVE-2024-26026 is a SQL injection vulnerability with similar impact. F5 says no other products beyond the Next Central Manager are impacted by these vulnerabilities. And so you want to make sure you get that updated. Poland says it was targeted by Russian military intelligence hackers in a recent espionage campaign. Poland's CERT said on Wednesday that it had observed a large-scale malware campaign likely carried out by the hacker group APT28, also known as Fancy Bear. Last week, several NATO countries accused the Kremlin of conducting a series of cyber attacks on their critical infrastructure. Germany, for their end, they got really tough with Russia. You know what they did? They recalled their ambassador from Russia for 1 week. He got a home vacation for 1 week. We're going to punish the Russians by not having an ambassador in the country. How degrading. Putin is sitting on his chair, drinking vodka and laughing at some of the response by the EU and the US to what Russia does. Sanctions, economic impact, reduce the amount of visas, hit him in his soft belly. Instead, you do all these things that make him look like a hero because we fail to understand how our adversaries think. We fail to understand in general how our adversaries behave and what their soft belly is. So we go about our Western diplomatic ways in dealing with tyrants. If you wonder why Putin invaded Ukraine, look no further than weak leadership. And if you're wondering why he's laughing his way and still doing what he's doing and Russia still operating at the capacity it's operating, look no further than just media statements that are supposed to give some sort of warning to the Russians, but then no real impact. If you hit Russia in its underbelly, you hit it economically, you go after parts of its economy that still operate, you work to build a coalition to limit their impact, then maybe then you can create a change of behavior. Until then, we're just writing a whole bunch of words on a whole bunch of pieces of paper that mean nothing to the adversaries that are actually doing it. Speaking of adversaries and axis of evil, Iran has now been stoking flames in Israel for the last 3 years in what has been a three-year campaign to sow political discourse within Israel. The first, which began 3 years ago, tried to pit Israel's ultra-Orthodox community against the LGBTQ community. The next focused on the left and right political discourse that was still going on in Israel until the October 7th attack. And now the third one is trying to revive that discourse due to the war with Hamas. In its new report, Recorded Futures, Insikid Group determined based on behavioral and contextual evidence and overlaps with prior reporting from Microsoft, Israel's Shin Bet Internal Security Service, the newspaper Haaretz, and the operations perpetrated by a likely Iranian state-backed advanced APT. It's called Emerald Divide. Like Russia and China, Iran, for its end, is trying to capitalize on existing divide to form an unrest in its enemies' nations. So there's that as well. They've put out fake statements by Rabbi Shlomo Amar, mixing real videos of the man with fake speeches about homosexuality, stuff like that. They've tried to divide the whole thing. The downfall of Netanyahu is the eventual goal. And joining Iran is obviously now President Biden and his desire to limit or delay weapons to defeat a terrorist group that killed 1,200 Israeli civilians. Put a baby in the oven. That's the moral equivalency that President Biden is taking in this concept at the moment. Just absolutely disgusting. Either way, Iran continues to try to format this discourse. Recorded Future, the Shin Bet, and the Mossad have all been made aware of what's happening and will be addressing some of this stuff, hopefully publicly, although I've watched Israeli news yesterday, didn't see anything about this, but hopefully this will get shared to the Israeli public to understand the need for unity in fighting an enemy like Hamas, especially with some of what the international community and the lack of moral clarity that still exists. I mean, if you recall, shortly after October 7th, I did a whole episode on it. I'll link it in the show notes so y'all could see it. But I told you at some point the tide will turn, and at some point they're going to want to do something. And so at some point that support and that moral clarity is going to go away. And this has been ongoing for years, but for the last several months. But now it's really kind of hitting the top of the kind of impact there. If Finally, nation state threats in mind, 70 software firms agree to secure by design pledge led by CISA director Jen Easterly yesterday at RSA. So the pledge coming from 68 vendors includes Microsoft, Google, AWS, Cisco, GitHub, IBM, HP, Okta, Ivanti, Netgear, and more. So that's there as well. That's it for our show this morning. We'll be back with a whole lot more tomorrow. Until then, tomorrow, 11 a.m., Christoph and I will be back. We'll be back, promise. We were texting about it last night. Back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern with all the latest progress. Until then, have a great rest of your day. Enjoy and have a safe trip home as you're wrapping up RSA. And most importantly, stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.